to talk about?
We're talking about security.
Security, and what do you need to get into your account?
Password.
This is the lovely star of Hollywood and television, Alan Ludden's beautiful wife, Betty White.
Thank you. And this is my partner, Robert Ware, from Indianapolis, Indiana.
This is the celebrated humorist and television star, Miriam Parr's wonderful husband, Jack Parr.
Hello, this is my partner, Anna Zarelli, from Staten Island, New York, and we're all here to play Password.
Yay!
Come on, huh? Did you not see that coming?
That was inspired.
We're all here to play Password.
You walked me right through that.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
That's what I'm here for.
Well, yeah, and fortunately, we think ahead and know that we really can't help you out with the making sure that your business is secure if you're working online. But we know the people that can help you figure that out.
Yeah, we're all here to play Password.
That's too funny. But I was ready for a game.
And I just thought, this is perfect. This is what we're here for. We're talking about passwords and stuff.
But I want to be a millionaire.
There we go. Now there's a game show we can play.
Did you play Powerball?
I did. No, unsuccessfully.
Yeah. Again.
I know. Keep going in and say, I want a winning Powerball ticket, but they never give me one.
Oh, I tell them I'll take fifth place. Oh, well, I don't want the big one. Just give me the fifth ticket winner. Yeah. You only won 50,000. Bummer.
Good.
I'm okay.
Means my picture's not going to be everywhere. Yeah, that's okay.
I don't care. Yeah. I won't have friends coming over.
Yeah.
Hi, remember me? I met you 12 years ago. Get away. Aaron's in from Saren Security. Different kind of security that you need. If you win Powerball, this is a different kind, but you may need this kind too. So how are you?
I'm doing all right.
You and I were talking before we went on the air. I cannot remember for the life of me where I saw this the other day. But
At a public place.
Yeah, I was in a public place, pulled into a parking lot and started to, I hadn't even gotten out of the vehicle yet. And I remember looking over and I saw a big sign in the window and it said, we have Wi-Fi and here's what you punch in, and here's the password. And I'm thinking, I'm still in the parking lot. Whether I'm going to patronize your place or not, I can still handle your Wi-Fi.
Absolutely.
So, and I'm basically stupid when it comes to internet stuff. But somebody like you who's got some sharps, it's like, I can turn this to my advantage. And to me, it just doesn't seem like the thing to do.
It's true. It's more of a comment on society. Everyone has a phone. I read a statistic a couple of years ago. There are more cell phones on the planet than there are toothbrushes. And so it's become such an accepted part of society.
That we're not brushing our teeth.
Exactly. That we all have bad breath. That people think that, okay, well, if I'm going to be somewhere, I need to have the fastest, massive, Wi-Fi connection on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
For in case my date's boring or the meal's bad or I run out of things to say. Or, I mean, if you're by yourself and you're at a bar, you know, having a bite to eat, then...
Loser! Sorry.
What are you talking about? Do you know how many friends I have? Look at this, this little box.
L7, right there,
baby. Look at the little box.
But I was at an appliance store purchasing some appliances, and as we walk in, they got a sign, and it's not... You don't even have to be in the door. They have it in the window, so you can hang out in the parking lot and use their Wi-Fi.
But that seems wrong.
But as a business, see, I can understand them wanting to go, well, we have to stay up with technology, so let's make our Wi-Fi available to our people.
Why are you putting... Okay. If I go into the building, into the appliance store, and I get in there, and then on the, hey, welcome to our appliance store, on the thing that says, hey, by the way, we have Wi-Fi, I get it. But you're putting it on the signs. I'm out in the parking lot. I'm not shopping for appliances.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm figuring, hey, well, you know, what the heck? I'll use their That doesn't make sense to me.
It really is an issue that a lot of companies don't think about. They think it's a convenience to the customer.
Absolutely. Right. It'll be a plus for our business.
People will walk by and want Wi-Fi, so they'll come in. Maybe if it's a coffee shop, then maybe that will work.
Get that.
The problem is they tend not to separate the networks. So all of your network is all of your connection to your internet comes through a box called a gateway generally.
Right. Okay.
Then that goes to each device or it broadcasts wirelessly.
Okay.
If you just say, oh, well, here's the password, then you're letting people into your network to everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Which is ludicrous.
Thank you.
To say the least.
That was my point.
Now,
because I'm saying, if you're going to do that,
Right.
Don't you have to have an added level of security?
You have to do what's called network segmentation, which pretty much is just like it sounds. If you're in this chunk of the network, you can only get in this chunk of the network.
Right, right, right.
If you're in this chunk of the network, you can only get in this chunk of the network.
Got it.
And I was doing a retail establishment recently, and they have three networks. They have a hard network for their point of sale system.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They have a wireless network for the employees when they're not, hopefully, helping customers.
Right.
And then they have a public wireless connection. But that requires a little bit extra hardware and some configuration. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason they did it is actually very important. And that is because there is a set of regulations, a framework called Payment Cards Industry, PCI. And what it says is if you take credit cards, debit cards,
if you're a business that takes, and so many businesses do.
You have to abide by these rules. You have to do this. You can't keep a record of the credit card numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep a record of the CVV on the back. And there's a number of different aspects to it. But generally, it's to protect the banks so that people don't swipe a card write down the number and go buy shoes.
This is because it's vital data.
Absolutely.
Is vital data, yeah.
And so if you don't set your network up the way I kind of just described, if you don't have a network segmentation,
that's totally separate from everything else.
You're out of compliance.
Yeah.
And you can be fined. You can have your the rates that you pay your merchant account can go up dramatically. You can also lose your merchant account.
Is there a big cost difference in going from just throwing it out and not being in compliance to being, I mean, am I talking tens of thousands of dollars?
Not at all.
Okay. Okay.
I think all in, not including labor, it was a $100 device and then hour and a half of time.
Okay.
Oh, that's
right,
it.
That's not bad at all.
I thought you were going to tell me it was going to be 20,000.
No. There's really a big.
So there's no excuse.
There really.
Well, but you have to know. You have to know.
That's what he's
that
here
you gotta
for.
You got to set it up.
And it's really a big perception that I think.
Oh, you think I want to see him here naked? I mean, this is why he's here.
Well, let's not start that now.
Okay.
But they tend to think, all right, you know, I only have a small office. I'm a small business. There's three of us in here. I don't have $10,000.
I've been running my business off of this one computer, this one thing. Yep.
I never updated it in 20 years because I'm afraid to. But I mean, we do solutions.
The floppy disks still work fine. I don't know what the problem is.
We do solutions that are $500-$600 a month, and that's it.
Oh,
and
I'm
not going to say it's the best, but it's it's much better than what they had when
we
started. I was going to
say, quantum leap from where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it will satisfy those requirements. And the other thing is, what companies don't realize is that's going to affect your general liability insurance as well. If you are known as the restaurant where people keep getting their cards stolen,
that cannot be good
for business.
Yeah, no. Because that word will get around.
Absolutely.
It's
and you can have
media,
the best,
you know?
Best food, nicest servers, but I'm not going there.
Yeah.
Now, see, I've used this logic to people saying I don't shop online because I hate putting the card out there.
Right.
And they said, okay, I get that. But if you go to dinner and the wait staff comes by and says, okay, and you give them their credit card, they disappear for 5 minutes.
They disappear for longer
than that.
What's
the difference?
Right, exactly.
And I went, yeah, but that one, I'm counting on that person to not be a scumbag.
Right.
And we're talking one person.
Right.
As opposed to putting it out there where it's anybody can go, boom. And,
I'm playing
the odds. And I said, that's what it is. And they said, yeah, but it can disappear just as easily.
Absolutely.
And I went, yeah, okay, you got me.
Yeah, side by side. Yeah, it is just as
they
easy.
Make a device that's actually about the same mass as a cell phone. It's a little bit smaller than my cell phone, a little bit thicker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally a black piece of plastic, and it's got a slit. It's got a MagCard reader in. Yeah. And a waiter can take it out of their pocket, run your card on the way.
Back to your table.
Before
he's even made it back to his machine to actually run it through for his business.
So the point is valid. The point is that you should be cautious. And a lot of restaurants actually in bigger cities have gone to, they bring the machine out, a remote machine out, and they put it on the table and they swipe your card right in front of you.
Nice. That's
so that
good.
There's no issue.
That's great.
They're addressing, you know, what could be a perceived problem. And whether they continue to have that as an issue or not, I don't know. But I think it's a lot of people are realizing exactly what you said. When it's out of my sight, when it's out of my control, then I really don't know what's going on.
Right,
the thing that is surprising to me. I shop online, I bank online, I don't have any issues. Not because I'm super careful and I always make sure I dot my I's and cross my T's.
That's what I thought.
I like to do that, but here's the reason.
You did get beat up on the playground. Okay, fine, go ahead.
I know, but look at him now.
Yeah, I know. How do you like that? That's right.
But is that if someone steals my credit card and they go and buy, you know, 20 pairs of shoes and have them sent to Guatemala, I don't pay.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. You're right. Protected. I know.
I'm protected.
Yeah.
So the surprising thing to me is, I was having a discussion the other day with this, is, okay, well, I'm not going to suffer, so what's my motivation to be secure? And it comes back to the bank going, hey, you know what? We've honored all these problems you have, but you can't keep having them because we're going to take your card away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the bank is the one that says, okay, well, we got to cover it.
Right.
And then they go to their insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And their insurance company says, okay, well, we'll cover you again this time. We'll cover you again this time. But guess what? Your premiums are going up as a bank.
Yeah.
So you got to charge your customers more. And in the end, it is the consumer that suffers.
Mm-hmm.
See, I had one of something put on my card beginning of the year. And I'm looking at it going, and it was $99.99.
Right.
I went, okay, first of all, hair on the back of my neck going, what's that? And I'm looking at it and I'm going, I don't know what it is. I called the credit card company. I went, okay, I'm contesting it.
Right.
They went, okay, hang on.
Yep.
And
they've got a whole different section of the call center now.
Oh, I know, an extra 20 minutes. And so they said, okay, we're going to do an investigation, but we're going to give you a different card.
Right.
I went, cool. So I scrapped the old card and got a brand new one. And I'm okay with that. To me, it's like, what?
You don't bank online. The rest of us.
I was going to say. However, Peter, what you don't realize is how many people already have that card number, and how now you're going to have to go to change.
But again, I don't do that. To me, I got a different card, and I'm set.
My point is this: I do auto debits. I pay my cell phone bill, my cable bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't give my bank account. I give my credit card number or my debit card number, or whatever it is. So when they say, okay, well, we're going to just, you know, we're going to send you a new card because we think there's been a compromise, then I have to think, okay,
how many of the people that I do business with on a monthly basis
are going to start calling me going,
have this number going, the card didn't work, and we're going to have to fix this. That's a reality.
Let me give you one word.
Okay.
Checkbook.
You know,
come on, man.
When's the last time anyone
I know.
Wrote a check? I don't have a checkbook.
It works.
Absolutely. I'm not anything away. I'm not a Luddite, but I'm just saying most people, it's like the homeless people are begging for change. Who carries change?
Yeah,
I carry a piece of plastic. I feel bad.
I know.
I'm carrying a piece of plastic around. You know,
well, you know, and it's funny.
Is that square?
I was at Market Basket, and one of the kids was on break.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, when I see the kids going on break, I let them go in front of me because I know you've only got like 15.
Yeah.
Come on, kid, get in front of me.
Good for you.
Kid went in and got like a soda and, I don't know, a snack. It was like $3 and whipped out and put it on his credit card. And I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Why would you put because unless you pay the card at the end of the month, that sandwich and that thing is now going to cost you $14. Because you're not going to pay it for 2 years. Done.
It could have been a debit card, or
no,
it wasn't,
because she asked credit or debit.
I see people like you in line ahead of, oh my God, he's writing a check.
The problem is,
this is going to take forever.
How many coupons is
my car
pull
is
out?
Running.
No, because the problem is, when I'm in line, I've got somebody in front of me.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got
you've already started.
Out, date signed.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there and I'm going,
all you need is a number.
Should be about $20 worth of stuff. I can go $20 over. I'll write it for $40 just in case. They come back and say, oh, it's $24. Yeah, well, okay.
Great, here you go, whatever. And then give me that.
And so, man, I'm done
quicker
than the people who are messing with the card. And it's like, I'm done. Oh, no, man, it's a system, baby. Do not mess with me.
Well, the other thing that's interesting about what you're talking about is I was having a discussion the other day about Target and how Target had been the big victim
of a breach,
and all this information was out there, and everyone at Target, you know, were embarrassed, and they were holding their heads down, and I know a couple people over there, and they were angry because they're like, you have no idea the craziness we go through, and, you know, we lock everything down so tight, and they do. What they didn't do was a third-party vendor, make sure that third-party vendor that had direct access into their network was tied down and locked down and prevented. Right.
Like all of their systems were.
So, and that's what happened. There was a Delta Sears Best Buy hack about 6 months ago.
Okay.
They all use a chat program.
Yeah.
You know, hey, can I help you? You know, if you want an instant chat. Somebody got into the instant chat company, got their whole customer database, which include Delta.
Yeah.
You know, you can never really stop thinking about all the worst case scenarios, as it were.
So it's okay to be a little paranoid.
It is okay.
You should
be a little paranoid.
Don't go crazy with it, but it's okay to be paranoid. Right.
Do you have people? You shut up. Do you have people like me that come knocking? That come knocking on your door and want to go from covered wagon to shut up. What did I say? To go from covered wagon to space flight?
Generally, no.
Okay.
They want to go from covered wagon to electric car, maybe.
Okay.
They realize that it's a problem. I mean, you can't.
Okay, so they realize that what I'm doing is not keeping up with.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I joke, and sorry, Dad, if you're listening.
I thought covered wagon was good. Why were you giggling?
That was a great analogy. It was a great analogy.
Whenever I'm trying to put together like a presentation or a paper, or if I'm submitting something, my father's 76 years old, and
hi, Dad.
He probably still has a VCR, and it's still probably blinking 12000.
Problem with that is what?
Like, you got to put a piece of black tape over it.
Yeah, I've done that. Okay.
Whenever I want to write something up and submit it, I send it to him. I say, tell me what you think.
Smart move.
Tell me your perspective as someone that didn't grow up with computers and has a cell phone now, but didn't, you know, wasn't born with it like my daughter who has it attached to her hip.
Right.
And so he'll say to me, you know, this is good, and I just don't understand this. And it's sometimes difficult to get out of your own way.
Right.
You want to use, you know, different things, and you want to use different phrases, and you have to make sure that people can understand it, because it's like when you go to the doctor and the doctor always goes, well, it's the subdermal integer of and you're like,
I always look at my doctor, English.
Right.
Yeah, English. What are we doing?
And you absolutely should.
Yeah.
But if you don't understand what's going on, then you usually can't protect yourself from it. So it really is important that people be able to understand what's going on.
I'll follow that up with something.
I know we're supposed to break. Yeah, and I got a guy right down. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, New Hampshire. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Lori from Franklin.
Hey, Lori.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I just had a quick question for you in regards to that third-party vendor. I work for a large corporation and everything, and they have, within the last 2 years, have outsourced our help desk, so to speak, to another country. And I've noticed that since they've done that, we get more phishing emails and emails even that have our own company logo on it, and, you know, things from HR and things like that. Could that be a possibility of just them not checking that third party vendor to make sure that they're set up correctly? I don't know. I'm just curious, because, you know, and I'm not the only one that's noticed it at the company, since they've outsourced our tech folks to another country. So just curious.
I mean, sure, that's definitely a possibility. Depending on the company that you're working for, the size of the company and the industry, some tend to be more targeted by criminals. The best thing I can say is, obviously, if it's a concern, you should bring it up to management immediately and potentially have someone come in and take a look and see if there's a problem with either the connection or what data is being communicated back and forth. Obviously, when you let something out of your control and you can't physically see it and touch it, you don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that definitely can be a very big problem. A lot of companies are in a similar situation. They want to be able to provide a customer service experience, but they want to minimize the cost, or for whatever other reason they decide to outsource it. I don't know that I've heard of anything specific to what you're saying in terms of, well, we outsource this to the UK and they're going through Brexit, so they don't have their stuff together, or another country that, you know, has things going on. But it's very interesting. And as more and more people become more aware of these phishing emails, they start to recognize them more and more. And at first, you know, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, you might have been getting them and you just didn't notice it.
Right.
And now you're a lot more aware of the situation, so, which is great. It sounds like you have a good, you know, security awareness program and hopefully some really good training.
We everybody in the company has to go through the internet security training on an annual basis and everything. And there's, you know, all kinds of live examples. You have to take tests and stuff like this just to try to recognize those kinds of emails and everything. But I was just curious because I've just noticed that there's just been an increase since they made this decision to move things to this other country and everything as far as like with the phishing emails, you know, and just stuff that looks so legitimate, especially when you're getting stuff from our HR department and they'll even use somebody's name from HR. You know, it's just, you know, it's crazy.
There's a whole classification. They call it BEC or Business Email Compromise. And what they'll do is they'll go through social media, they'll go through news sites, they'll find out the CEO of your company. And if that's John Smith, then that's John Smith.
Yeah.
And then they can change the headers of an email and it'll say, "Dear Dave, this is John Smith. As you can tell by my email, I want you to wire $25,000 to this account and you need to do it right now." And you look at that, and maybe it's a little bit different for you. That's not your general experience.
But it's the boss.
It's the boss. Who's going to say no to the
wow.
So the other thing I was going to say is I think it's great that you guys do an annual awareness program, because a lot of companies, they'll do it once. When they hire you, you go through the program, and that's it. But here's the thing. You do it once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So 6, 8, 9 months, are you still as studious about looking at your emails as you are 2 days after taking the course?
It only takes one.
Yeah, for me, I am.
Okay. You know, well, you're definitely special.
Yeah, and I have like a note on my desktop too that states, okay, if I suspect it being a phishing email, that this is the address that email address I have to send things to, and yeah, so I'm very cautious of that. I mean, I get scam phone calls all the time and everything too, so it's just, I'm always on alert. I know not everybody does, but I'm kind of one of those people that does.
That's great.
Well, thank you for that, Lori.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
For a criminal only has to be right once.
Yeah, I know. It only takes one time. Only takes one time. All right, Lori, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lori. All right. We got to go.
Oh.
But, man, we could just keep talking.
Yeah, we could.
This is great.
That was quick.
All right, so you're going to come back in a week or two or whatever?
Sounds good.
Cool.
As long as there's still criminals out there.
Well, and because this is technology we're talking about, it flies right along with us. Every 2 weeks, I think, is good. So we don't miss anything.
SERON, Seron Security. You can call them at 866-666. Still the sign of the devil. 4235 at Seron
Security. It's the devil
It's good. And say, "Aaron, why is Peter picking on you?" Yeah, whatever. Talk to Aaron, and we'll get you back in a couple weeks.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man.
Awesome. Appreciate it.